Hello, everybody, and welcome to Talent Talk, the new podcast from the Fort Lewis College Athletics Department. I'm your host, Bob Bonner, the voice of the Fort Lewis College Skyhawks. And joining me for our inaugural program is head coach Sean Jacobowski from the Skyhawks cross country teams and his new assistant coach, Will Shank. Thanks for joining me, guys.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Will, good to get to meet you finally. We've talked to Sean before. Let's start with you a little bit. How are you finding your time at Fort Lewis? Are you enjoying it here?
Yeah, I've been loving the experience I've had so far. Sean's been a great mentor for me and really been allowing me to step up my role as an assistant coach. Been filling more time and having more interaction with the athletes and more with the office side of things, which I lacked in before. So I think I'm really starting to just learn as much as I can.
Sean, you did the one-man band thing for a while last year, and quite successfully. So there's got to be kind of when you're doing well, I know I've been in those situations before, when you're doing well by yourself, part of you wants to just keep going by yourself, but at the same time, you know, you're working yourself to death and can probably be better, that two is better than one. Was there an adjustment for you and the athletes to bring Will on board? I'm sure they had a comfort zone with you, or was everybody just glad to get the extra set of eyes and hands and get to work? Or did it take a little time to figure out how all this was going to work together?
Yeah, I don't think at any point, you know, I was ready to continue doing it by myself. I wanted to bring someone in pretty quick, just because, you know, we've got like 50 kids on our roster, on our cross roster, and that's a lot of people for just one person to handle. So we wanted to make sure that, you know, I didn't want to just rush someone in, but I also wanted to, I was definitely ready to bring someone in. I think the athletes, you know, I met Will at a convention before. So as soon as the job kind of opened up, I kind of knew, you know, he was, you know, one of my first calls. And then bringing him on, like, he just connected really, really, really well with the athletes really quick. And I think all the athletes were ready to bring him on as well, just because it gave them, especially, you know, on the women's side, they were used to just having their own coach for a while. So then having to kind of split me between the men and the women's team, I think they were ready to bring someone on as well that, you know, so they could have someone to go to. So yeah, it worked out great. I mean, obviously anytime you bring in someone new, there's a little bit of an adjustment period, but honestly, like, Will did a great job hitting the ground running. And I mean, within his first week of being here, we were on the road to Arizona for a big meet. And so there was really no really time for an adjustment period. He just kind of got here and just did a great job getting started.
What, have you guys then settled on roles, division of labor? You know, Will, are you helping the women more, or are you guys kind of dividing it and both of you staying pretty engaged with both squads?
Yeah, I mean, we divide it. We do a good job of making sure that each squad is getting, you know, equal amounts of attention. And we also were lucky this year to bring on two really good volunteer assistants, with one of them being Catherine. She's got Division I running experience as well as Division or NAIA. She was an NAIA All-American, and she ran at Liberty University. And then also bringing on Dalton Graham, who was an Adams State alum, part of their national championship team, All-American. So having them also has been huge. But you know, when it comes to day-to-day practices with me and Will, since we're the two full-time coaches, we do a good job of splitting them. So, you know, one workout I'll be with the women, we'll be with the men, and then the next workout, you know, we'll kind of switch it up, so they're kind of getting equal attention from both of us.
So how has the trajectory been from the squad? You mentioned being able to bring on, you guys, you really did show significant improvement last year, Sean, and now with the help, and I have the benefit of working with Catherine down there at Skyhawk Station from time to time. I know she's competitor, boy. She just sort of moves from her. So yeah, you've got the help. Is the trajectory, have you continued on that incline, or have you maybe even seen your incline get steeper? You guys are both teams ranked 9 in the region right now. You appear to be in really good shape. Are you feeling good?
Yeah, I feel really good about where we're at. You know, I think both teams, you know, our women's team is ranked 9th right now. We haven't even opened up Katie yet. Yeah. Once we open her up, I think, you know, that's obviously going to skyrocket the team as well. But no, I definitely think adding, you know, Will and then Josh is our new associate head track and field coach. I think you'll be meeting with him later on. Another great addition. But the recruiting has really stepped up, you know, because now instead of me being the only one reaching out to recruits, like Will's done an incredible job, like reaching out and getting, you know, visits scheduled, and the interest that we're drawing, we've noticed this year, are from a lot higher quality high school / you know, transfer athletes than what we were getting in the past. And it's probably a lot because of the success we had last season, but it's also because we got more people out there, you know, putting emails out, making phone calls. So,
Will, you're recruiting your backyard. you know, it had to feel kind of good last week. As a matter of fact, up in Gunnison, you guys actually placed ahead of your old squad. You know, I mean, has that been nice? You know, both of you, either one of you's answer this, having that sort of local connection on staff with Will, do some of you, and you're young enough, do some of the athletes recognize you and remember you from your day as well?
In regards to the athletes at Colorado Mesa,
or just in the region, I mean, in this area.
I think one of the biggest things that, like, I'm able to bring is I ran in Colorado in high school, and I was very involved with my head coaches in high school. And my dad he prints sportswear for a lot of the local high schools and a lot of their cross country and track programs. So he also knows a lot of the coaches around the area, and I've just kind of associated with them more and more as I've been in this coaching role. So I happen to know a lot of, especially the Colorado Springs coaches, because that's where I'm from. So
we call that being connected.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's nice to be able to be connected to them. That's partly where I've seen, you know, a heightened role in our recruiting, is just having those connections, you know, being able to reach out to one of the coaches and asking them, you know, do you have anyone interested in Fort Lewis? And then it's a fun rivalry to have with Colorado Mesa as well. Sure. You know, it's enjoyable to see them at meets, and the head coach is a good friend of both of ours. So, you know, it's a healthy rivalry and a healthy competition, and I think we both help elevate each other.
You mentioned, Sean, that you haven't been able to open Katie up yet. I had the benefit of running into her right before classes started, and she told me she was injured. To her credit, and we're talking about Katie Fankhauser, the defending national runner-up in the mile. Yeah, to be performing well without her is you know, the odds-on top runner from the squad going into the season, but is really pretty impressive. But Katie was telling me, she was disappointed and frustrated over being injured, but she was also kind of excited, and she told me at that time, she said, I'm not even our top runner right now. She was excited about some of the freshmen and some of the new bodies. Is that sort of universal throughout the squad? Have the new bodies meshed, and are they pushing each other in the right ways and encouraging each other in the right ways? Do you feel like a team right now?
Our freshman class, recruiting class, is just, I mean, they're incredible. You know, last week when we were in Gunnison, 4 out of our top 9 were freshmen. And I don't know if you've caught eye from of Linda. She's a stud. She's going to add another low stick to us. I mean, she goes to Western, and, you know, she finishes 2nd in front of, you know, all of the Western Colorado girls who, I mean, I think are preseason ranked like 9 or 10 right now, or not preseason, week 1 ranked like 9 or 10 in the country right now. And, you know, she was ahead of almost all of their girls. The only person she was behind All-American Allison Beasley, who's a fantastic runner. And so adding that other low stick. So, you know, last year was kind of like Katie, you know, out front, and then we had a big group behind her. Now we got, you know, 2 that are going to be out there. And then, but really, you know, our depth is our 3, 4, and 5 runners have done a huge job stepping up. And you know, Western, ran, I want to say within like 10 seconds of each other and all broke 19 minutes in the 5K at 8,000 feet. So it's not just, you know, you know, Linda coming in, but it's just the steady curve of all the athletes. Like, you know, McKenna Hoffman was, not even on our conference squad last year. And, you know, she put together a really good summer training, is running, I believe, third for us right now. You know, Catherine Brown's another one, Brandy Ray, like these are, you know, Brandy Ray was an all conference in the 10K last year. So really excited. I think that, you know, our women's program can definitely turn some heads and hopefully grab an at-large bid at nationals this year.
Now, you talk low stick, and I've told you before, I know just enough about distance running to be dangerous. And is that, am I guessing, you know, they're given, as they cross the finish line, they're given a stick with their place on it. Is that the reference to low stick?
That's how they did it back when I ran.
That's the old style. Is that where the low stick reference comes from? When you said low stick runners, what does that mean exactly?
You know, I believe it is. Yeah. Cause that's when I was in high school, I used to get a popsicle stick, on it. Yeah. And the goal was to have the lowest number on that popsicle stick.
And if you went to a really good race after that, they gave you an actual popsicle too.
Yeah. Those are the races I always wanted to go to.
So how about the men's team, guys? You know, they were kind of, because of Katie's success largely, that did overshadow some other things. But the men's team took some strides last year as well. Again, looking at what happened in Gunnison last week and the start you guys have had to the season, really looks like that program has taken steps. And now that it seems like the two programs are moving forward together.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, our men's program is they've got to be one of the more improved D2 programs in the country this year. We have some really, really strong men. We're going to go out to Chicago in a few weeks, and we're going to hope that we can take it down a lot of ranked teams and kind of punch. They got a really good shot at making nationals if we can hold, you know, everybody healthy and hold them together. Our men's program is taking huge strides in the right direction. And they went into Western last week and very confident, maybe some a little too confident early. We took it out a little harder than we needed to, and some paid the price, but, you know, others held on. And I mean, we were up there and, you know, we held our own with the number 12 team in the country. That wasn't on our best day. So I definitely think that this men's program is a top 25 team, and hopefully we can prove that at Lewis.
You say men, what's your mix there? Because it's a lot of new names for those of us who have followed and seen who, you know, five may have been the last couple of years. There's only a name or two in there that's recognizable to us. Is it a lot of new bodies? Do you have transfer kids? Are we talking about freshmen? You know, what's getting it done for you there?
So honestly, it's just a lot of the same kids. We've got some freshmen right now. We pulled one out of a red shirt. He's running like number 8 for us right now. But I mean, you know, our depth is incredible right now. We have a kid from high school that ran 9:17 in the 2 mile. We have the Arizona 2A state champion as a junior. They're both redshirted just because our depth is so big right now.
So you are running men and not boys, right?
Well, yeah.
You know, that freshman sophomore year, there's a lot that happens developmentally from a physical perspective for athletes, particularly in these type of sports. So you are able to run seasoned veterans. They might not be seasoned scorers, but they're program kids who've been around for a while or been around the sport for a while.
Yeah, and they've just, you know, really bought into my training. We really stepped it up this summer, they put in more mileage than they ever have. Had great season of summer of training. You know, just when we think that we kind of know our top 5 to 7, you got someone like Connor Dossman, who is a middle distance runner, 800, 1500 meter runner in track. And he pops off number 3 for us at Western and runs, you know, almost probably over a minute PR through AK at 8,000 feet. And all of a sudden, he just makes our team a little bit deeper. You know, it's just when we think we kind of have a set roster, it's just like, you know, bam, there's another one. And it's really exciting to see, you know, everybody. I can't wait till we get in that race. Hopefully it's Chicago conference regionals where we click and, you know, we can show some people, you know, who we are and that we're here for, you know, we're here for good.
What's the balance now in training, guys, as far as, you know, one thing is you score cross country. You alluded to it earlier, Sean. You want your runners bunching, and you want them bunching with whoever's in front and leading that pack, of course. But you just sort of talked about this, as your program gets deeper, as you practice and work out, having to look over your shoulder to see who's coming to take that spot, that 7-8 spot or 6 spot, wherever you are. That's got to prepare you for, I mean, that's the keys. You got to know who's coming over your shoulder in a race too, and keep them on your hip and be moving up. Are you competitive enough and deep enough now that you're within your roster, that you're pushing each other to that extent where you're making each other better through competition right now?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, what was really impressive at Western, if you look at our stats on the men's side, our 1-5 gap was less than 30 seconds. So there was 30 seconds from our first runner crossing the finish line to our fifth runner. And then honestly, our 6 and 7 were only 40, they were under 40. And a good gap in college is if you want to aim for that minute, you know, range is where those really competitive teams are. So we're talking like we've got a very, very strong gap. And I believe at Chicago, if we run the right race, we can even cut that down to 15 to 20 seconds between our 1 and 5. And watching these guys work out, I couldn't tell you who our one's going to be next week. I couldn't tell you who our one's going to be, you know, at regionals. It just, every one of our top, you know, 7 guys has a legit shot at running 1 for us that day. And it's great because it keeps everybody on their toes. You know, they're all, it's healthy competition because they know, like, you know, at the end of the year, only 7 of them can make that trip to the national championships or regional championships. So they're all kind of gunning for that spot, but at the same time, it's a healthy competition. You know, they're pushing each other and they're happy for each other. Like this last weekend, we were racing for pretty much tickets to go to Lewis, because we're only taking our top 7 to Lewis out in Chicago. And, you know, watching everybody finish, there was no like unhealthy competition, like, oh, I can't, you know, I mean, they were all proud of each other, giving each other high fives and hugs after the race. And there was no talks of, I get to do this, I don't get to do this. It was great to see the team embrace each other and the positivity. And, you know, but they are competitive with each other as well. So it's kind of fun to watch every day.
Now, you've referenced Chicago a couple of times. Is that because it's coming up? I can tell you're excited. Is it because it's coming up? Is it because of the level of competition? You're going to get a heck of a lot closer to sea level. That'll give you guys a little advantage over some of the other teams you see there. I mean, is it all those factors? I mean, why, you seem pretty pumped about Chicago.
It's a big me. When me and Will were making the schedule last year, one of the things we knew, we had 2 teams that could qualify for nationals. And, you know, we're in the toughest conference in the country. We're also in the toughest region in the country. So, you know, what we have to do is we have to go out there and we have to go somewhere on the East Coast, or, you know, Chicago or Louisville or Arkansas, where a lot of those South Central or North Northeast Division II teams are going that are ranked. And we got to try to show them that, yeah, we might be, you know, 4th, 5th, 6th in the RMAC, but we're better than the conference champion from here or the region champion from here. So whenever they're making those at-large selections for nationals, they're like, okay, well, this team, you know, won their region. If Fort Lewis was 6th, but Fort Lewis beat this team head-to-head, they need to be at nationals. And this Lewis crossover, I believe there's going to be 6 or 8 regions represented at that meet. I want to say there's going to be like 12 to 14 ranked top 25 teams currently that are going to be there. So this is a meet where we can really go and show people, you know, that we belong in nationals. Of course, we still will have work to do after that. We'll still have to show up at regionals and conference. But this is just one step where we can start getting some of those, you know, voters and rankers to kind of start looking our way and being like, hey, this is a team we need to keep our eye on this year.
So what do you know, you're nearing now, it's gotta be you're closing on the midpoint of the season pretty much or at it. You know, still obviously too early. We're not talking about taper or anything, but what do you guys do workout wise? Cause you're starting to get tired. The monkey's going to be getting on some folks' backs right about now, depending on how they came in from the summer, I suppose. But you know, where's cross country team at in training? I mean, are you just sort of settled into a routine? Is this the nice time of year for athletes where, boy, it's kind of like clockwork. They just do their workouts every day, or are some athletes having to do different things than others right now because they're at a different stage?
Yeah. So I'm not going to give away all my secrets in case you have watching, but we're kind of coming out of that tempo threshold phase right now with most of our athletes. This will kind of be the last week where we'll always touch on it a little bit. But we're starting to kind of dab a little bit more into, you know, a little bit closer to race pace, like race specific work, next week starting. It just depends on the athlete. You know, for our athletes that we feel like will, you know, their seasons will extend to conference, regionals, nationals, you know, their workouts might look a little different than what an athlete might, you know, look like that season's going to be done at, you know, mid October. But I mean, we still all meet at the same time. It's just the load might be a little bit different, but they're in a good routine right now. You know, we got a big hit planned for the men tomorrow. They're all like, you know, they're all on board. They got a good routine going, and everything seems right now, you know, when the first of the year, everything's just, you know, everybody's getting used to classes. There's so much going on. But now we're in the point of the season where, you know, everybody's kind of got that routine settled and we're just kind of flowing every day.
So what do you have left then after Chicago? Because like I said, we are getting kind of short time under season. What's left of the fall season for you?
So that's pretty much, you know, one thing that, again, me and Will talked about last year when we were coming up with the schedule is we felt like we wanted to focus more on training this season and racing. So we're very picky about where we're racing and who we're racing where. So, you know, our varsity, like that team that we're looking for conference and regionals, will essentially, they just opened up at Western and kind of like, you know, hey, it's cross country season, you know, let's shake out the legs, see what we, you know, some of the work paid off. Then we'll go Lewis, and that's a big meet for us where we're, you know, we're going to go there and try to run pretty fast. And then they'll go to conference and regionals, and that'll be it for that squad. Hopefully nationals. So that gives us a lot more time, because anytime you race, that's a hard hit. And you gotta, you know, the athletes have it in the back of mind, you got extra stress with travel and whatnot. So we wanted to focus on racing just as much as we absolutely had to where we can just focus on training. So that way, when we do race, we're racing to the top of our game. That's kind of the plan moving forward, is just right now we're in a hard 2-week training block, before we hit Lewis. And then we're going to hit it hard again until conference. And, you know, we'll start tapering off for conference and regionals.
You talk about, earlier you joked about not giving up all your secrets. So now I've met coaches who have both philosophies depending on the year that they are. I'm going to compete a lot, or we're not going to compete much. How much, I mean, it's a little bit of a benefit of not competing much this year. You've got to be enough of a known quantity to get selected for nationals, right?
Yeah.
But at the same time, there's some benefit in being an unknown quantity. Is there?
As long as you show up when you need to show up. You know, like Highlands, they just went out to pre-nationals last weekend, or this past weekend, and they finished second. They beat like 4 or 5 ranked teams. And so, you know, if we show up to conference and regionals and we beat Highlands, and this was on their men's side, and if we beat them, then we essentially can gather all those wins as well. So, you know, that's one thing that you got to be really careful on. And it depends on the year and the team. Like a very young team, you probably race a little bit more because, you know, they need that experience. But we felt like we had a veteran enough team and a mature enough team that, you know, we could handle just racing a few times and count on them racing well when they needed to race well. That's why we decided to go with, you know, a very small meet schedule this year.
So this was a this year thing. If the circumstances dictate, you'd go ahead and load up on on competition if you had that sort of a team?
I'd say if that's the team, if that's what we needed. Personally, I usually, you know, I would say more than I would always like to race less, just because it is it's a big stimulus to travel all the time, and to, you know, they're staying out of their own beds, they're exposing themselves out there more to, you know, like we kind of got some illness running through the team right now after this travel meet this weekend. So you want to try to control all the factors that you possibly can. And we have a better control over them when we're at home. So that's, you know, and again, like, you know, when you do a hard race effort, that takes a lot out of you. So you have to kind of like deload a little bit after that. And this gives us the opportunity, again, just to stack weeks on weeks on weeks of just really good training without having to worry about like deloading or, you know, backing off for a race or anything like that.
One of the benefits of seeing, you know, more competition or a lot of competition is, especially within conferences, you come up to the RMAX and all of your runners kind of know who they have to finish ahead, right? From a team perspective. If you don't race as much, you maybe don't have as good an idea, but of course then other teams don't know who they have to beat on.
I'm looking every weekend. I know exactly where we need to be. I know who we can beat and I know who we can't beat. So
You don't need to run those races. You can tell by looking at it. You're looking at times, you're looking at what other teams are doing.
And that's
your athletes don't have to have that knowledge because you've got it.
Yeah, and that's another good thing. You know, we've been to several of these meets that other teams are going to. Like, you know, you had the Roadrunner invite last weekend. I've been to Metro. I know what fast times are at Metro. You know, Will's been – that's another advantage of Will. He's raced so many of these races around here that, you know, he can look at – we were looking at meet results today, and he can be like, yeah, that's a really fast time. Or, you know, like that team – like that's not that great. So, like, yeah, we can pick apart these results without actually being there. You know, is it perfect? No, but it still gives us a really good idea of kind of, you know, where we sit. So
allows the athletes to just focus on themselves and their own training, I suppose, then too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, all things considered, you're in good shape from the outside looking in. It feels like a good time to be a fan of Fort Lewis running. I moved here. I'm a fan of the area, and I think it's a great area for runners. I don't run anymore, but if I did, I'd be glad to do it around here. I mean, is it going as well as it feels, guys? It seems like things are going really well for you.
Yeah, I mean, there's some behind the scenes things always. You know, you're battling with some injuries here and there. But for the most part, you know, like we're also battling with a few little illnesses, but it's better now. And that's another reason why we wanted to take a little bit of a break after Western is, you know, we are taking a group up to Mesa in a few weeks. Just to race them as well, so they get some reps in as well. Yeah, I mean, it feels like, you know, when we're looking at things, like it feels really, really good. Things are heading in the right direction. The women surprised me this weekend. I mean, I knew we were in shape, but the way they ran like veterans. And we have a very young women's squad, and they ran really smart. You know, through a mile, we were quite a bit behind Mesa. And they just started rolling and picking people off and kind of worked their way up. Linda made a huge move. She was probably in sixth place through a mile, and then made a huge move and just kind of left everybody in the dust. And then on the men's side, same thing. You know, we didn't have the perfect day, but, you know, we ran what I consider probably a C day, and our C day this year was better than an A day was last year. And that's what you want to do. You want your okay days to be, you know, to stack up enough great training blocks where your okay days were great days, you know, a year before. And I think that's where we're at right now.
Well, and you got to be happier having a C day, to use your term, with the men, where you go out too fast and maybe have to really push to finish, than to have a C day where you leave something in the tank and don't really know what your limits are, right? I mean, yeah. If you're going to have a bad day where you go out and push too hard, too fast.
And they did. They went for it, and I was proud of them. I mean, this is, you know, it was kind of like, you know, we had them caged up all summer long, and then, you know, you open the cage and they just take off, and then, you know, we're at 8,000 feet, and then, you know, and then about 2 miles in, you're like, oh man, there it is.
but you know, I'm smiling at their pain, but I'm also smiling because, yeah, as a former coach, that's the sort of stuff I've always said, boy, I'd rather teach a kid that he's too aggressive and try and pull him back than try to get a kid to have enough energy.
And, right. And if they get out like they did at sea level, they can absolutely hold that pace. So, you know, I think it was a good, indicator of their fitness and where they're at. And I think it's great because you don't want to open up with your best day, right? You don't want, because at that point it's just like, well, how much more is there? So we opened up and we have so much more potential on both ends to continue to grow. And like I said, the exciting thing is, you know, we beat the number 9 team in the region when we weren't ranked in the region before this weekend. We just came out number 9, but we beat them without, you know, our All-American. So when you add her into the mix, that's going to completely change our women's program too.
Are we going to get Katie back? How's she doing?
Oh, yeah, you'll see Katie. You'll see Katie open up at Lewis. As long as everything continues to go in the direction that it's going right now, you'll see her make her debut at the Lewis crossover meet.
Okay, so she's back working out with the team.
She's strung together several good weeks of workouts and getting stronger every day. So yeah, you can expect Katie to do her thing in Nationals this year.
And how much you know, her teammates, new and old alike, got to be kind of excited. I mean, there'll be a race within your squad in Lewis too, huh? I mean, you got freshman girls and stuff who have established themselves the last couple weekends as top runner. They're not just going to let that go quietly just because the national runner-ups all American.
No, they're not. Linda brings, she's a competitor as well. She's not going to, you know, she's going to be right there. I think you can expect both of them to finish, you know, neck and neck at the Lewis meet. And I'm really proud of the women and them stepping up, because they knew, like, we knew, you know, early in the season that we weren't going to have Katie for a little bit. There was no like, oh no, like, it was just like, okay, we got to step up. We got to work out. We got to make sure someone's there to fill that gap. And this weekend, Mari filled that 5 gap and ran a spectacular race and finished 5th for us. You know, but again, there was a group of 4 or 5 individuals chomping at her bit right behind her, to where, if, you know, she didn't have that day, there was someone right behind her to have that day. So, it's been really fun to see them step up and, motivate each other. And I think they they're very excited to open up a full squad at Lewis.
Well, Coach, it's been fun sort of keeping track of you guys this fall. And thanks a bunch for joining us here to talk about it today. There's only so much you can read in the press releases, and we appreciate getting to know you and Will a little more and getting to know a little bit about your team. Thanks for joining us, guys.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for having us.
You bet. Good luck. Good luck in Chicago, my old stomping grounds. Don't try the pizza till after the race.
That's definitely why we're staying an extra night. We're staying right, for 2 days so they can have some deep dish pizza.
Excellent. Hey, and some of the thin crust stuff's pretty good too. So,
you have to send me some spots so we can go check them out.
I'll definitely do that. You guys enjoy yourselves out there, and yeah, looking forward to seeing you take some names.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Matt, thanks for joining me, guys. Thanks to all of you for listening to Talon Talk. We enjoyed having you here for our first show, and hope to catch you again next time. Until then, keep soaring, everybody.